Is this on? In our epistle, the apostle says this: "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new." This sense of renewal, of letting go of the old and claiming the new, is what's supposed to happen on Sunday morning. It's what clergy are supposed to do: help people claim the new. New beginnings. Beginnings of what Sunday's supposed to be, the first day of creation, the day of the resurrection, new beginnings. It's what's supposed to happen every Sunday morning to the people of God. It is a gift that God holds out through the church's ongoing worship every Sunday morning. But here's the thing. For this to happen, it takes an investment in planning and thought and preparation and what goes on during the week in a parish. It's about deep pastoral caring of the clergy. It's not automatic. All of this leads up to a good Sunday morning if it's well planned, if there's preparation for it, if there's pastoral care that goes into it. That should never be taken lightly. But at the very heart of what it means to be a good pastor. And that's our theme. We come tonight to celebrate an anniversary of a good pastor, Andrew. 20th anniversary of a consecration. Wonderful celebration. You came after my retirement as bishop, but we fast became friends. We belong to a senior clergy group that meets about every 6-7 weeks, and we talk to one another, have drinks, go out to dinner, worry about the church. You have been a blessing, Bishop, to the Diocese of New York and certainly to this wonderful historic parish. You have been a blessing. And of course, we're all pleased that you're going to stay in this great city to be with us some more. That is an additional blessing. Thank God for that. At first glance, one might wonder why Mary Magdalene is a feast for the consecration of a bishop. Until, of course, you read the gospel, and then it all becomes quite abundantly clear. We note that the gospel has set the reading to go tell, is what she's supposed to do. She's an apostle. And in the Greek Orthodox Church, the Orthodox Church, she's considered at the level of apostles. She is an apostle. We should also note that she is ranked with the apostles there, and her feast is a most appropriate day for a consecration. A bishop is supposed to go tell. As we look closely at this story of encounter with the risen Lord, we can see that it's an illustration of the human condition. She comes to the tomb, brokenhearted. She's down. Life is passing over her. She's sad. It's Sunday morning. The focus is on death. She does not recognize the angels that come to her, the holy that stands before her. They speak to her, but she continues her search among the dead, like so many that come to Sunday morning. It is not until Jesus calls her by name and says, "Mary," which should remind us of a baptismal moment when we're named before God, when life comes into us, and the Holy Spirit comes into our life in such a way that we have new life. And she responds, "Rabboni, my dear teacher." And there's the personal relationship between the two. This is a baptismal moment in which Mary is named and is called by Jesus and is sent to tell. She is indeed an apostle. And here she stands as a symbol of the Christian life, named in baptism, sent on mission. That's what we're all called to do. Sunday morning should be a moment in which we have that sense of being blessed, consecrated, and sent. My favorite illustration for what the church is and does, some of you may have heard this story before because it comes from my youth. When I was in junior high and in high school, there were five of us young men that were together all the time. We did everything together. We all worked together at a supermarket. We went out on Friday and Saturday nights. Three of us played football together. Two of us played basketball together. And so we're a very close-knit group of guys. We walked to school every day. I lived the furthest away and picked them up as we go along. We'd walk and talk about the day and what we were studying, what we were doing. On weekend nights, we'd do what boys did back then, maybe a little outdoor basketball and then to the Dairy Queen. And then if we could find some girl that was having a slumber party, we'd head right over there to see if we could get in. Sometimes we could. Sometimes they let us in. Other weekend nights, we might be double dating. One of us would get the car. Double or triple date. One of my friends' name was Bill. And we drive up to Bill's house at night to pick him up. We'd honk the horn lightly so as not to disturb the neighbors. And Bill'd come running out of his house, coat over his shoulder, and his mother at the open door. And every Friday night, she said the same thing. Bill, remember who you are. She's become a symbol of the church for me. She didn't mean, Bill, remember your name or your address or your telephone number. She was saying to him, Bill, remember your values. Remember the things your father and I have taught you about life. Remember what you hope to become. Remember your future. And she knew that if he would hold all of that inside, his behavior would follow. Over the years, Bill's mother has come to symbolize for me the church. It's what happens on Sunday morning, isn't it? Remember who you are is over and over again the themes. In the Old Testament readings, we go back in time. We hear about the foundations of the prophets and the wonderful Old Testament leaders of the Jewish people. And then the epistle is read. How to live the Christian life. Remember who you are. And then the gospel, the good news, is about the divine among us. And then we have a sermon, which is usually about remember who you are. In the creed, we're reminded of our baptism, and we have a brief summary of our faith. Again, it's about remember who you are, Christian. In the intercessions, we say, commit us to something. Intercessions are not something we throw up to God and say, you take care of it, will you? But the mere fact that we say intercessions means we've committed ourselves to these things that we pray for, and we will try to cause them to happen. Because we are the people of God. The celebration of the Eucharist, bread and wine, is brought forward. A prayer, very much like the creed, is said over the bread and the wine. And if you listen carefully to that prayer, it is also said over the people of God. But this prayer also consecrates us as the body of Christ, if you listen to it. In communion, you see, we eat what we're becoming, the body of Christ. We're being consecrated to eat the body and blood of Christ because that's our daily food. And that's what we're called to be, a very special people in the presence of the world. How wonderful it is that all of this defines our pastoral ministry as bishops and priests. So on this anniversary night, God bless you, Andrew, and all that you have given us. And I say to the clergy here present, recall the great weight of hands that was placed upon your head when you were ordained and consecrated. Remember that moment, for it represents the great weight of pastoral ministry, the great weight of our tradition, the great weight required of us to carry with hope to the people of God. It symbolizes, hopefully, in each one of us, the great weight of pastoral responsibility that we have for the people of God. God bless you.